Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yes! You know it's every yes! day. Moose and Taz be paving the way. Yes! Talking about every sport. Yes! You know that they never missing a play.
Yes!
From the NBA to the NFL to college games.
Yes!
They always bringing the knowledge. Nobody ever could try to go
yes!
stop it. Only be talking the truth. Only be talking the truth. Ay. You know it's Taz and Moose. You know it's Taz and Moose. Ay.
Ah, yes, as Bastangia brings us out, hour number three, fantastic, and make sure...
SoundCloud, man. People should go to SoundCloud.
SoundCloud,
to his music.
Download his stuff. He's fantastic, does a great
Bastangia,
job.
Right, Bastangia.
Bastangia.
With a Z.
Bastangia. I'm sorry, my New York accent. I apologize about that.
I wouldn't know about that. I'm from Oregon.
He's a fantastic artist. He really is, and has worked on the Taz Show for years.
Shout out
for the
Moose.
And certainly has... done a nice job for us as in our infancy of our show, Taz of the Moose, and a shout out to him and thanks for everything that he has done for our show and the opens that he's done for our show and make
Jones.
Sure you, yeah make sure you download his stuff, hop online and on SoundCloud
when he's in the New York area. I want him to meet
you. Come in studio. I'd love to meet
him. I know you're a big hip hop fan.
Yeah, no doubt.
I'd
love to.
People don't realize that about you, but you are. So I mean, when you meet Bastangia, you and him could spit bars or something. That's what the kids call it.
Probably won't be able to spit bars with him, but I would love to meet him. We're coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National Mortgage Lender, Quicken, you give me too much credit. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Can't play a talking number to call 855-212-4227. That's your number to call. The old hotline, 855-212-4CBS.
Attention, hotline fans.
You've got Pete the Body, Mikey B across the way. AB with your updates as we have 2 hours down, hour left to play with. Give us a follow on Twitter at Taz and the Moose, at official Taz1Z, at Mark Malusis with a C. And remember, we posted that video. Took you inside or
Instagram.
Showed you on Instagram. We showed you the luscious, or I would say beautiful.
Spread.
Media week. Certainly, we've held it down here in New York City. We took you inside the CBS Sports Radio newsroom outside.
Yeah, it was epic.
And so give us a hop on Instagram with that. And
you
Mikey B also posted a picture of the champagne gummy bears outside.
Yeah, and some of these people might not realize when you go to the Instagram.
Yeah.
Where'd you post the champagne gummy bears? Was that the social media team did that where? On Twitter?
On the Instagram
page. Oh, that's good. So we overloaded people with Instagram. Okay, that's smart. So, okay, so...
good effort, Mike.
So anyway... You got to go in the upper corner and hit the little thing. I don't know what you call that, the avatar, to watch the video of Moose narrating the spread we have here. And I do a cameo in there. And so does Zach Ertz. Not Zach Ertz.
Zach Martin.
Martin, right.
Zach Ertz will be playing for the Eagles.
He's a tight end, yes.
Right.
I only
Zach
know.
In here.
How about this? How about Le'Veon Bell, right? Yesterday, addressing... a fan. So a Jet fan, the Jets have got $90 million to spend this offseason under the cap, right? So Mike Maccagni could spend like a drunken sailor. So they've got a lot of money to spend. Le'Veon Bell, we know, as he made it be known before their divisional game, does not want to play under the franchise tag. Talked about taking a step away from football. Said if he sits out the entire 2018 season, he'll step away from football forever. I'll believe that when I see it.
Mm-hmm.
But the threat for the Steelers not to franchise tag him. Then the report came down the Sunday of that game. I think it was Schefter or Mort, one of the two on ESPN, give him credit that the Steelers intend to franchise tag Le'Veon Bell, who played for $12.1 million this past year. Now, Bell yesterday, someone sent him a tweet. A Jet fan saying, you know, why don't you come play for us? We'll give you $60 million. Come run with the Jets. And Le'Veon Bell said, I'm not going to come play for the Jets for $60 million.
I know.
Jets!
And one of the Jets took acceptance. Not accept. He took. He tried to sway him.
Right. Jamal Adams,
correct.
The young safety at LSU, who basically said in no uncertain terms, you know, what he said, whoa, big dog, show some love. We'll be the talk of the league this coming year. How much you need? Let me run to the bank. I got you, my boy. Ha ha. Hashtag don't sleep.
And Jamal Adams is an excellent D-back for sure, but the young man needs to realize that the Cleveland Browns were also the talk of the league this past year. So you got to be careful when you say that talk of the league thing. He's saying talk of the league. That's what he said.
Right. He's talking about being positive.
No, I know that. I know that.
Not as an embarrassment.
Is there any humor here with this team that we have? Not just you and I, but these people behind the bench.
We're all funny.
You're funny looking, Mike. Okay?
No, we're all funny.
No, you are not funny.
That's not true. Hold on a second, Taz. Not every joke you tell is funny.
It's not a joke. I'm not a jokester. I'm not a stand-up comedian. I'm just making a point that the talk of the league this year kind of was also the Browns.
Good point. Well said.
Thanks. And the awkward silence. Le'Veon Bell, $60 million is more than enough to play running back anywhere. I mean, anywhere, dude. Come on.
Listen, can we maybe get a laugh track
That
laugh track
voice.
Sucks, Pete.
That laugh track's terrible. Yeah. What is that? It sounds like it's not good. No, that's not a good one. Good. Stop playing it, Pete. Stop playing.
Pete, that's it. Please, you're fired, Pete. No, so.
Don't fire Pete, please. I'm out of here.
But in all seriousness, Taz, I don't think that's what he meant by talking to him.
I know. I don't think so either. I know he's being positive. But, you know.
But how about Bell? $60 million you wouldn't play for the Jets? And good for Jamal Adams.
I respect that, too. Yeah,
good for Jamal Adams.
Yeah.
You know, he took issue with Cam Newton in the regular season doing a celebration in the end zone, right? Now you can say, as a defensive player, just stop Newton from getting into the end zone, and then you can prevent him from celebrating. All right. But good for Adams hopping on Twitter, defending the Jet fan, and also throwing a little bit of shade at Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, hey.
Who the hell are you?
Right. And as a defensive player,
you won nothing.
Adams could have been a little meaner and nastier.
Yes.
And there's a little heat always for years with the Jets and the Steelers. I mean, Jet fans know that. Steeler fans know that. AFC stuff and all that jazz. But, hey, man, as a defensive player, he could have been even more. Adams wasn't disrespectful.
No.
He could have been.
He
actually handled it on the high road end of things. He did. He took the high road, but he spoke up like, yo, man, what's up? You have a little respect. I think in every joke there's some seriousness.
Yes.
Like, you know, and
I
know you do. I know. Oh, wow, someone's bringing the wood. Yep.
I get that. Trust me, I get that.
Beat the body.
Yes, there's. I agree with that.
Yeah. I know you do. Me slapping Jones.
Bisseglia is more uncomfortable now than he ever has.
He's always got to.
There's no bat. I'm fine.
He's got to breathe a little bit. He's got to relax. He needs to breathe.
I think the only time he breathes is when he's cuddling with his cat.
Yeah, that's awkward. Yeah, but
does that trouble your wife at all? The amount of time you spend with your cat?
No, not at all. She's pleased by it.
She just wants you. Okay, Pete, we got the laugh track. It's like he's flooding us with laugh tracks. It's like a 1970s sitcom over here. Like we're watching Happy Days. Like, what are we doing? What's Posse?
I'll tell you. So good for Adams. Good for Adams defending the Jet fan that went after Le'Veon Bell. And Bell, listen, he's going to get paid one way or the other. He's going to get his money. And I have a hard time believing, even if the Steelers do franchise tag him, that he'll sit out for the entire 2018 season. But that's certainly going to be one of the storylines that picks up steam, Taz, after Super Bowl 52 comes to a conclusion. We hit the offseason. Bell's scenario in Pittsburgh, the pursuit of Kirk Cousins. And we're also going to find something else out on Saturday night. Who is the MVP of the National Football League? And, you know, maybe there was some debate at one point in time, but how about one of the Brady guys yesterday, right? Ooh. One of his, you know, people. Right? One of his entourage.
I know where you're going.
How about the fact that Brady, as he meets with the media yesterday, one of the last days that he's making his avail, there's a guy walking around.
Yeah, who was that guy?
With his MVP acceptance speech.
And he's not hiding it at all.
No.
Flip the paper. I mean.
Put it in a manila folder.
Do they do everything by design? Like we talked earlier about Belichick at the Timberwolves game. The more I was thinking about it, I was telling these guys in the control room during the break, What I was thinking, dude, I'm thinking that was done by design by Belichick because you triggered me on this. Because the 30 for 30, so instead of being in his hotel room watching it with his you know pretty girlfriend, instead Belichick is in the public eye when we never see him.
Right.
What a coinkydink. Doing this, that's kind of interesting, right? And so now shows like ours are talking about that, which inadvertently you end up promoting his 30 for 30.
Well, you do. You're right about that.
It's so true, right?
That is a good point.
It's so marketing genius.
It's kind of like the reverse marketing.
It really is.
It's like Jedi mind tricks.
I'm talking about open heart surgery.
Right.
No, but it really, you're right, though. It's definitely like a reverse Osmosis Jones Dynaflow. Yeah, it's kind of something like that. But, it's somewhere in that world.
And then you get to the Brady stuff, and he's just holding it out there in his hand.
The acceptance speech.
Right.
What about Gurley? Where's Todd Gurley? I guess not, but we'll get into that in a little bit.
Right. Gurley is obviously not going to win the MVP.
I guess not, because we know already the cat's out of the bag. Sorry.
Because I would imagine, here's the scenario. Tom Brady wrote the acceptance speech because he's not going to the NFL Honors event. Because he's in the Super Bowl.
Right.
So he's going to record something.
Oh, pre-taped city.
Pre-tape it, as they've done it before in the past.
Pre-tape
it when one of the combatants is in the Super Bowl. So there was the speech for him to go over and read as they tape it in the next couple of days. So they have it for Saturday night at this Fugazi NFL Honors event.
The rich gets richer. I mean, it's nothing better than having somebody praise you and deem you the MVP. Like you are this megastar and put you over nonstop, over like Rover, and you're not even there, and you send them a canned, or as we say in the biz, pre-taped, post-production, and you send them a canned comment. Thank you very much to the Academy. I'm worthy or not worthy of being the MVP of the NFL or whatever he's going to say, and you're not even there. Oh, God. That just adds to more of the dislike for people towards Tom Brady. Think about that.
You really think so?
Oh, I know so. I don't think so.
Oh, I can understand if he's not playing in the game. The fact that he's got the game the next day, you think Brady should be at that event accepting the award?
I don't think Brady should get the award. How about that?
No, okay.
I think Gurley should get it.
All right, well, we can debate that. But if he's winning the award, and I believe he is winning, you know, coming off yesterday, I thought he was winning the award even after
according to that paperwork that's out there. Right,
right.
You're right.
But even before that, I thought he was going to win the award. But the night before a game, you think he should be at an award show?
No, I didn't say that. What I'm saying was do the awards at a different time. If you're going to give it to the guy, that's what I'm saying. Give it to the
change
guy.
Change up the time a little
bit. Yeah, so he's there. So it's not like it makes him look worse. I don't expect Brady to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, so you change the award show where to suit Brady's schedule.
But they're trying to piggyback off of this weekend where it's a zillion people watching content about the NFL, so that's what they're trying to do.
Right, no doubt. You look at the combination of events. Number one is the Hall of Fame entrance get announced on Saturday out there in Minnesota. Late Saturday, I think early Saturday evening, get unveiled on the NFL Network. That is tomorrow. Then you have the NFL Honors. So you have the MVP, Man of the Year, which Eli Manning won last year, and then you get the game on Sunday and everything that goes into that.
Yeah, I just think, like I said, I don't think Brady should be at the event on Saturday night. No, I mean, just like we were shocked that Belichick was at the Timberwolves game with the Bucks. But I think we figured that out. We cracked that case, my friend.
Correct. We did.
While he was there.
Yes. Yeah,
that was so smart of Belichick and whoever his agent is or publicist or whatever.
And you know how he was sitting in the front row, Biseglia. Brought it up.
What?
Tom Thibodeau.
Oh.
Used to be assistant up in Boston.
In Boston, yeah.
They connected. Biseglia connected the dots. Nice job by Mikey B. Too early in the morning for him.
Thank you, Google.
Well, that's... No, don't stooge yourself off.
I mean, take credit.
No, I'm humble.
No, you're silly. Okay, you're not humble. Okay, you cat-loving freak.
You can say bitch.
No.
Wow.
No, our team here, this Taz and the Moose with AB as an annex... We crack cases. We are full of conspiracy theories.
Yes.
We hold down the fort here.
Yeah.
It's a team effort. Yeah, I know, Moose, you think it's all about me, but it's not. It's about our team.
No, I do believe most days it's about the team.
You're going to say something else.
Yes. Most days I do believe that.
All right. So I have to be ashamed of all my successes.
Do you think it bothered? No. Do you think it bothered? No, you should be proud of them. We hear about it every day. You should...
See what we created here now. You see what we created with this guy?
It is like a 70s sitcom.
He's going to kill us
now. It really is. It's really, it's better than the other. Listen, you don't have to play it all the time, but the other laugh was creepy.
Exactly.
It almost seemed like a criminal was laughing into the. Yeah, exactly. Do you think it bothered? Yeah, don't play that anymore. Do you think it bothered the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, yesterday when Justin Timberlake, who's going to do a fantastic job at halftime, when Timberlake was asked questions by the media, and I believe him and his wife, Jessica Biel, they have a 2-year-old daughter.
That's his wife?
Yes, that is his wife. He's a successful, attractive man. She's
not too shabby herself.
No, she's very, right. Nice assets.
Dexy Jones.
No doubt. Was asked the question during the press conference, Taz, will your son, he doesn't have a son, but will your son play football, conceivably speaking, moving forward?
Who cares what Justin Timberlake thinks about football? Who cares?
Well, because
I'm not saying that to you. I'm saying that to anyone who asks that question to that man. All you need to ask him about is how good his footwork is as a dancer, his singing ability, and his connectivity and friendship where him and Jimmy Fallon just mark out for each other. It's a man crush that's awkward for me. That's all you need to ask that guy, Timberlake.
But they asked his opinion on that. Do you think he should have taken the high road and been like, we haven't really talked about it? He basically said, no, my son will never play football.
Well, okay, that's great for people who like Justin Timberlake. I don't care about his opinion. No one pays him to hear his opinion. They pay me and you for our opinions about football.
Well, I would agree with that if I was showing up to watch Justin Timberlake at his show. I told you that great. You know, I went to I'm a Pearl Jam fan. I went to a Pearl Jam concert.
Excuse me?
I'm a Pearl Jam fan.
I'm a Pearl Jam lover.
There you go.
Okay, so we sometimes, in and out of Mikey B, in and out of breaks, we hear some Pearl Jam bump music, as we say in the business. And I don't ever get a reaction out of you. Can I just say, I'm just curious for hits and giggles. What's your favorite Pearl Jam song?
Oh, I'm not great with song names.
All right, sorry, put you on the spot. You can ask the guy any stat from 1962 from the Cleveland Indians against the Yankees, he'll give you.
Yeah, I can
but,
do that.
But he
that,
can't tell you a Pearl Jam song.
You know what? was it Daughter?
Daughter was an album.
Yeah. Daughter.
I think it was a song, too. I didn't like that album. But
okay.
We actually played a lot here. Dirty Frank is one of my favorite. I actually know a guy named Dirty Frank. Yeah.
See, you're great with song titles. Yeah. I am terrible with song titles.
No, I'm just a Pearl Jam mark. But Dirty Frank, we have Dirty Frank. We play a little boss.
I give you credit. So
here we go. You might not notice. This is like kind of a B song. Like, they have a lot of B songs.
No, I know the song.
Dirty Frank.
Yes.
Though. Yeah.
That's
the name of the song?
Okay.
This wasn't a radio, popular song on the radio.
No, I've heard this song.
Those listen to the On Demand right now, the podcast version of
can't
this.
Can't hear it.
They have no idea what they're
listening
to right now.
Right, so what you should do is, when you're listening to us, now hop on to your other computer or your mobile device and put on Dirty Frank from Pearl Jam as we react to it.
Good point.
Right, we'll give you 5 seconds. One, two.
We got to go 5-4-3.
Three.
You can't, that's a Bush League move by you.
Five.
You, right.
Four. Three, 2, 1. Yeah. Anyway, so we were at a concert, my family and I. Pearl Jam.
You brought your kids to a Pearl Jam concert.
This was a long time. Okay, this is pre-Jackson, pre-Gregory, pre-Paul. No, this was a long time ago. Went to a Pearl Jam concert, and middle of the concert, Vedder starts to get into it. Bush was the president at that time.
Oh, the politics,
and I'm not getting into the politics. Right, whatever you believe, you believe. Yeah. But I don't go to a concert to hear about anything about politics. I want to hear the guy sing, the gal sing.
You want to hear Dirty Frank.
I want to hear the band.
Yeah.
Give me the band. I don't want to hear. That's where I go to the concert to take me away from all that.
Take me away. Like
take
Calgon.
Me away.
Yeah.
So to play to your point about Timberlake. He should have taken the high road.
Yeah,
Answer the question.
Yeah,
I'm here.
Cares.
I'm excited. It's a tremendous event. I'm a huge football fan. We really haven't discussed whether or not, if and when we have a son, Jessica and myself, whether or not he will play football.
Well, no one really cares. I mean, except for that reporter who asked him about this. You know, that's the first thing. Secondly, I don't care. I put on the NFL Network yesterday. I had some downtime in my prep. And I saw him throwing a football with somebody in a reporter. Threw a football at him, and then he threw the ball back. I don't know what the hell was going on. It was awkward. Who puts on the NFL channel? I want to see Neon Deion. I want to see Pride. I want to see these guys talking football.
Yeah,
I don't want to see Justin Timberlake throwing a football.
I do get into the
if he had congas and like maybe a tambourine. All right, he's singing a little tune. I'm in.
I do get into that. I do like those press conferences with the artists because they're in a scenario they're not usually into.
Oh,
like,
God.
What? It's great.
Did you ever hear Why Go? Not Why Go.
Wow. I'm sure I have.
Oh, whoa. Wait a minute. How did you do that quick?
I'm just that good.
Yes, I've heard this.
Dude, that was weird.
There you go.
I'm not kidding you. This is Why Go, bro. This is a great song. Again, you can go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 2.
Like, this is a good song.
This is a great song.
Great song.
Why Go?
Wow. Damn, Mike dude. Haynes,
that was weird.
Hall of Fame defensive back for the Pats and the Raiders, is going to join us next as we roll right along. Taz and the Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right, rolling right along here on this Friday morning. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS, the old hotline number to call and interact. Mike Haynes, Hall of Famer, Pro Football Hall of Fame, College Football Hall of Fame, will join us here momentarily. Let's get to, let's talk a little bit about Castrol, shall we? Shall we, Taz?
Yeah, that's a yes.
There we go. Very nice. NFL players are strongest under pressure. So is Castrol Edge, the official motor oil sponsor of the NFL. Vote for the Castrol Edge Clutch Performer of the Year. Do it right now. NFL.com/Castrol Edge and make sure to do it today. Can't be smoother than that. AB is in the building. Good morning, AB. How you doing, buddy?
Guys, I'm good. So the Rockets enjoyed a double-digit lead for most of last night in San Antonio, but the Spurs were as close as six early in the fourth, so Chris Paul went to work.
They got to like 82-76 or something like that, and I was like, all right, we're tripping. Let me go ahead.
And they went ahead, and Paul hit back-to-back jumpers to push the lead to 12. His Rockets won by 11, 102-91. James Harden had 28 points and 11 assists, 43 points from Paul George, 20 and 21 helpers from Russell Westbrook. But Gary Harris's buzzer-beating three got the Nuggets a 127-124 home win. As Westbrook was leaving the court, a fan stepped onto the floor and got in his face. Westbrook gave him a light shove before security and two referees arrived. The NBA is investigating. The Pistons won Blake Griffin's debut 104-102 over the Grizzlies. Griffin with 24 points and 10 boards. The Wizards outscored the Raptors 122-119. And Minnesota beat Milwaukee 108-89. The T-Wolves had lost two straight. The Bucks had won four in a row. The Bulls have sent forward Nikola Mirotic to the Pelicans for three players and a protected first-round pick. They were on the verge of this deal earlier in the week, but New Orleans wouldn't pick up Mirotic's $12.5 million option for next season, and now they will. Final full practice coming today for the Patriots and Eagles. Rob Gronkowski is no longer in the league's concussion protocol. He's officially good to go for Sunday. Ryan Shazier left a Pittsburgh hospital yesterday. He'll continue rehabbing his spine injury as an outpatient. Top-ranked Villanova, still rolling.
Shot clock at 7. Bridges is going to pull up for a 3, and it's short. DiVincenzo comes up with an incredible rebound on the baseline. Bounce pass to Spellman for a 3, and he drills it from the left wing. Play. Incredible teamwork.
Ryan Fannin on the Villanova Sports Network, all working again for the Wildcats. They cruise past Creighton 98-78 for their 8th straight win. 17 in a row for number 13 St. Mary's, 79-43 over San Francisco. Number 14, Gonzaga down San Diego, 64-54. And from the NHL, Vegas won in OT and Winnipeg 3-2 to set the record for most wins by an expansion team with 34 with more than 2 months left in the season. The Lightning, a 7-4 win in Calgary, and the Bruins beat the Blues 3-1. Boston earning at least a point now in 19 of its last 20 games. Guys?
Thank you, AB. Appreciate it. Let's hit the guest line right now because Taz and myself, we have the pleasure of being joined by one of the great defensive backs to ever play in the National Football League and member of the College Football Hall of Fame, Pro Football Hall of Fame, and that is Mike Haynes. Hey, Mike, Mark Malusis, Taz and the Moose with you. Thanks for a couple minutes this morning.
Oh, thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
Oh, thanks for taking the time this morning, Mike. And certainly, I mean, this is a big weekend for the National Football League. You're a member of that Pro Football Hall of Fame. Those that are finalists this weekend, what kind of emotions do you think they're going through?
Well, it's really, they're hoping like heck that they get in, you know, because in some ways it's a little embarrassing because they bring you here, they fly you here, and you're hoping that that David Baker knocks on your door to tell you you've just been voted in. But if you don't get that knock, you know, it's a weird feeling. So it's a little different for me. When I went in, I wasn't at the Super Bowl. I was working in the golf industry at a company called Callaway Golf. And so I had to leave the PGA show where we were with our booth and sat in my room and waited for my phone to ring. And if it didn't ring at a certain time, I thought, well, I guess I didn't make it. So that happened to me 2 years. And then the third year, I got a chance to answer the phone.
And when you got that phone call, Mike, I'm sure the wave of emotions. I mean, you know, the amount of work it takes to be a professional athlete, the amount of dedication, the amount of hours to be honored and get that kind of an honor, I imagine you felt a wave of emotions, right?
A ton of emotion. But, you know, I don't think you really think about that. It's more like your family and your friends who are saying, you know, gosh, you're a Hall of Famer. Sure, you're going to go in, you know, and I think the emotion comes when they're with you. Like if they're with you and they're like, oh, my God, you're in.
Yeah.
What a great feeling. So I was by myself.
Mike, there was nobody to share and talk about your sweat equity that you put in, right?
Exactly.
That's funny.
Mike, go ahead. Okay, Mike, when you look at the Super Bowl, let's get into this matchup between the Pats and the Eagles. You being a former Patriot, what about how this franchise and really how they've personified just excellence in the National Football League here under Belichick and Brady?
It's been unbelievable. It's been really fun to watch, and I really didn't think we'd ever see something like that, you know, that you know, where the teams through you know, all the different rules and things they have to get players, how many players you can have, how much salaries can be. I really didn't think that there would be a team like that, you know, they could have that kind of dynasty.
Hey, Mike, so from a defensive standpoint, man, bring us in a huddle, bring us in a defensive practice as an NFL D-back or linebacker, just, you know, as a non-D-lineman, for lack of better terms. How do you handle Gronkowski? How do you cover this guy? Do you double him up? Do you put a quick, bigger outside linebacker on him, or a safety that can just, you know, that's quick and nasty? What do you do? What do you do with Gronk if you're a defensive coordinator going against Gronk?
Well, you know, I actually think if you have a big safety or a linebacker that can run,
right,
that's what you do. You know, most defensive backs are not going to be, you know, strong enough, tall enough to really handle them. You know, they're, you know, physically anyway. So if you can have, if you had a linebacker like last week, the safety at Jacksonville, that guy was what, like 220, 230, something like that. If you have a safety like that, yeah, then you got somebody that can probably do a really good job on Gronk. So that's going to be a challenge for most teams.
Because don't you think, because I was saying this earlier, man, like there's a risk, right? You know, if you double up, if you double team him and he splits that double, then you're doomed, right or wrong.
Yeah, you're doomed, and you better have, you know, good guys outside on the corners that can man up on those wide receivers. Because, you know, if you don't have that and you don't have anybody that can cover Gronk, you're going to be in trouble. But that's not going to be the case. The Eagles, their defense is really solid. I'm not sure how they're going to cover Gronk. Is it absolute sure? Is everybody absolute sure that Gronk is going to play?
He's clear.
Yeah, he's clear. The concussion protocol.
Okay.
He is playing.
So yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'm glad, because I think the fact that he can play doesn't mean he will play. I think that really sets the Patriots up in a kind of a unique situation, and the Eagles are going to have to prepare for it if he plays or not. you know what I mean?
Well, right.
So, I just can't imagine him going for 60 plays. You know, I think he'll play, but he probably plays sparingly.
We're talking to Mike Haynes, a legendary defensive back corner in the NFL, College Football Hall of Fame, Pro Football Hall of Fame class, 1997. Mike, what do you think sets Brady and Belichick apart? Why do you think they've been, I asked you about the consistent brilliance, you're surprised by it in today's day and age when you look at the salary cap. What do you think sets those two apart at their respective jobs?
I think that whatever Tom Brady's goals are, they're what's really making the difference. You know, he's been able to come in, focus year after year after year. And I had an experience. I used to work in the league office, and I called him 2 weeks after the season to see if I could get him to do some appearances, you know, outside the United States to help promote, you know, the American football. he was already working out. This is 2 weeks after the Super Bowl. This is like after they, you know, after they won their like second Super Bowl or something. And I couldn't believe that he was doing it. So what kind of things could he be doing in February, you know, for, you know, to, for football? So you have to imagine he's looking at old game film and saying, hey, you know, that one team, I didn't really play really well. Why didn't I play well? Let's look at that game. Let's try and figure it out. Let's go back. What would I do next time if some coach or defensive coordinator tried to do the same thing that that guy did? So he's a student of the game, and Belichick is a student of the game. So when you put their heads together and they're thinking about, you know, ways to attack, I think it's probably really the thing that's really making the most difference, and I think that's going to be hard to repeat. You know, you're going to have a guy that is as dedicated as Tom Brady to that position, and you know, there's all the coaches in the National Football League, I'm sure they're all dedicated, but when you have a quarterback that's just as dedicated, I think it comes through with Super Bowls and championships and things like that.
Well, Mike, you're exactly right. I mean, it's well documented, right, how much they do their prep that the Patriots put in with Tom Brady, obviously, at the helm of that, and Belichick. And that leads to their success, right, in postseason play and Super Bowl. So I ask you this, man, like, how much of an advantage, in your opinion, is that for the Patriots, you know, that they have this experience in Super Bowls over the Eagles?
I think it's, you know, a lot of experience. Plus, not only that, he knows his body. He knows his throws. He knows what he likes to do. So, you know, I just think it's great. And I think that, you know, other teams are probably working towards that now. You know, I'm sure there's going to be another Tom Brady, you know, or a couple of more Tom Bradys in the next 20 years. But it is rare.
Let's look at it from a little bit from an Eagle perspective. Mike, what was it like playing in your first Super Bowl? And what do you think these guys – I know it's easy and they answer all the questions all week long in terms of, you know, and they haven't created any kind of negative headline and they're trying to just make it a game. How difficult is it being the game that it has developed into and really being a national holiday?
Well, I think that now because of all the media, social media, and all the different ways the guys can communicate, I think that the Eagles will not be out celebrating and partying every day up until Saturday, you know, up until tomorrow, and then going to play the game and then hope to win. I think both teams are feeling like they'll celebrate after the game. They're there to win a championship, not to get to a championship. So I know when I was on the Raiders, we didn't really do that. We kind of went out every night and partied every night. Oh,
you guys, you know? Forget about it. You guys' rep wasn't exactly great, man.
but the coaches were sure that we were in the hotels by a certain time.
Yeah.
And so we were able to do that. We got our rest, and we were really prepared. Now, when we played that game, when we came on the field, the Redskins came out also, you know, for pregame warm-up. I had never seen a team as confident as that Redskin team. Those guys... They had beaten the Raiders early in the year, so they thought, hey, we're just going to beat them again. That kind of came through just in their body language. And when you see a guy and you say hello to him, you know, you could tell that, you know, he felt like he had an edge, you know, that kind of a deal. So we went back in, got our other teammates, and then came back out as a team. We had our game faces, man. We were ready to go for 60 minutes. There was no way that if the Redskins thought they were ever going to come back, it was going to happen that day because we were focused for 60 minutes. There's no question about it. It was kind of cool to be around, to be on a team like that.
You know, hey Mike, man, what was it like? I mean, look, we were just talking about, you know, your Raider teams and being part of that. Look, so many of these NFL teams and history, there's so many great teams, great coaches, great players, great fan bases, right? All these different teams. And it's all special. There's all a special fraternity. It seems like as NFL players, there's a fraternity. Obviously, I get that and I respect that. But I got to tell you, it's always seemed to me. Now, I always liked the Raiders. I'm not from that area of the country, but I always looked at the Raiders as there's a special. They're a different fraternity. Like their players, past, current, the whole deal, man. Like, what is that like being part of that really unique that Raider? That Raider world, man, that only you, you know, guys like you could speak on.
Well, it was unique, and I don't know if it's still that way, but it was the era, you know, and those guys were special. They were different. We might not have been the most talented guys, but, you know, a lot of things are in your head. So in terms of being positive, they were the most positive. As an example, when I was with New England, whenever we played in Miami, we just already, before we even got there, knew it was going to be a dogfight, knew it was going to be a hard game, you know, and a lot of times we were going to lose those games.
Right.
With the Raiders, I think we were like 0-2 or something. I don't really remember the exact record that we were at the time, but we were like 0-2, and then we're going to Miami the next game. I don't say anything. That's the one thing I'm smart enough not to say anything negative in these situations. The guy said, oh, good, we got Miami next in Miami. I'm like going, oh, gosh, you know, I'm not saying anything to anybody. And sure enough, we go out there and we beat them. You know, they score first, but we end up winning the game. It was really unbelievable. And they were so confident that they were going to win the game. So for me, that meant that, wow, how many things are in my head like that? I mean, how many times am I defeated before I go someplace? I need to really check my thinking and try to change that if that's going to be the case. And I'm sure teams like the Patriots and players that have been in the league a long time, like Tom Brady, they can express those kind of things to their teammates. You know, they can do that. And I think that they understand the importance of staying positive. And I think that's why Belichick has those guys so secured in this of what they say, like what they say to the press, what do they say to the fans, what do they say, you know, amongst their friends. Because what they say and what they think really in reality is important.
We're being joined here by Mike Haynes, a legendary corner, College Hall of Famer, Pro Football Hall of Famer, and cancer survivor, Mike. And tell us how you got involved with KnowYourStats.org.
Well, I'm a survivor, so I found out by luck. And so our campaign is really like, don't be like Mike. You know, I didn't know anything about prostate cancer. Now, 1 in 9 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer in their lifetime. 1 in 6 African-American men. As an African-American man, you would think, wow, I should know a lot. I should know a lot of men, African-American men that have the disease. I didn't know anyone. I didn't know anything about it. And so when the doctor at this screening said that 1 in 3, now I think it's 1 in 5 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer in their lifetime, that got my attention. So when I got back home, I called my primary care doctor, had a conversation with him about the screening I had just attended. And he said, yeah, well, just to be on the safe side, Mike, since you are African-American, let's get you a biopsy. And the biopsy came back positive. I had cancer in 9 of the 12 places that they checked. And so if I had not been at that screening, I would not have had that any reason to call my doctor. So the real lesson is you need to know if it runs in your family. And it did run in mine, but I didn't know. And that's why I was so anxious to call my doctor to get more information. And because it ran in my family, I should have been checking since I was about 40. I was 55 when I had all this stuff happen to me. And that is the time that we recommend for men that doesn't run in your family. You can really wait until you're 55. I was really lucky that we caught it early, because when it's catch it early, that's when it's treatable, and it's a pretty easy fight for most men.
KnowYourStats.org. Hey, Mike, we appreciate you spending a couple minutes with us here on this Friday morning. Great work with the organization, certainly bringing about awareness, and we appreciate your thoughts and your time this morning.
I appreciate you guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Mike.
Does a fantastic, I mean, great, I mean, all time.
Yes.
You know, if you're not old enough to remember Mike Haynes,
no, I remember
the player,
yeah,
I know
yeah,
you
yeah,
are. Yeah. I mean, we both
thanks.
Are. I mean.
Thanks, pal.
That's true.
I could dye my goatee.
No. I like the gray. Salt and pepper. Looks nice.
Salt and pepper Jones.
Right. We'll give you our Super Bowl 52 picks.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. Oh, the goodness.
Yeah, but see, again, On Demand Jones. Not listening to the podcast. You're not hearing us.
855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS. Taz and the Moose. Picks.
Yeah, that's right.
Next.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
CBS, your number to call to get involved. Taz and I were just talking about the brilliance of Mike Haynes, the player.
Yes.
And certainly talking about injuries, and we'll get into those over the course of the And Taz is a wrestler. I mean, it's amazing the amount of surgeries. We think about surgeries and the toll and tax that it takes on the body. I mean, Taz will tell you stories about surgeries, the amount of time, the wear and tear on his body.
People don't realize, man. Like, it's like there's no off season for us, for wrestlers. So, and they, it's all fake. Yeah, okay. I give you a litany of list of injuries and surgeries, not just me, of other guys. So, we'll get into that down the road.
Yeah, let's get to it. Some Super Bowl selection, shall we?
I'm ready.
All right, let's go. All right, let's get to it. Super Bowl 52, Taz. We've chatted about it throughout the course of the week, right?
Yeah.
All right. 4.5 is the line. Gone down. Pats are the favorite.
Shocking.
Where are you going and why?
All right.
You want to go first or you want me?
You go first.
All right. I'm going to take the Eagles. I'm going to take the 4.5. I've gone back and forth.
Respect that, Moose.
All week long. I don't know. For some reason, I know it's easy to say New England, and I'm not going to fault you if you do. I could see the Pats win this game easily. I'm not telling you Philadelphia is definitely going to win the game outright. I just think 4.5 is too many points. I'm going to take Philadelphia. I think they're mentally and physically tough. We've chatted about it. I think they can win at the line of scrimmage. I think Foles will be good, not great. So I think it's a close game, anybody's game in the fourth quarter. Give me the Eagles plus the 4.5. That's my Super Bowl 52 selection. Taz?
Respect that. It's tough. This is a tough one to pick.
Yes.
Out of all the games, this is now I've always I was wrong on a couple things. I thought the Vikings would be in this game, and that didn't happen. A lot of us have doubted Brady as he's getting older. You know, even though he's shown so much success, the foot speed, the this, the that. Fletcher Cox, I think he's going to get doubled up. I don't know how much of a factor he'll be because he's going to have people all over him. So 4.5 for the Pats. I have to. I got to go. I'm on the fence here. I'm going same way. I'm going with you.
Yeah, take the Eagles. We agree on a selection. Yes. Look at that.
I think 4.5 is a lot, and I'm going to go with the Eagles. I think Nick Foles has got his reps with the ones, and he's got a chip on his shoulder. No one's thinking he can do nothing. I think he'll do okay. He's got a great interior offensive line and a defensive line. I'm going to say Eagles with the 4.5.
Eagles plus the 4.5.
Aguilar, big game.
I'm going Eagles a 4.5 plus the 4.5. Pete the Body, who you like?
I like the Eagles.
Wow. Eagles plus the points.
Plus the points.
There you
I
go.
Think it's going to be a very close game right down the wire.
Uh-huh,
Mikey
uh-huh.
B and your cat, who you rooting for?
Leon has the Eagles. I have the Patriots, though.
You're taking the Pats and laying the 4.5.
You are a bum.
No, it's because I'm going on history.
On history.
Patriots because you're a front runner.
No, it's not a front runner. Looking at it logically, Tom Brady, Patriots. Someone said, "Hey, you had to bet your life on it. Where are you going?" I'm going with the Pats.
I know you very well, Mikey B. And one thing about you is you're illogical.
Three of them. I mean, build the guy up. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. So remember, the pod will drop in a couple hours. Give Mikey B a little bit of time following the show. iTunes, give us a rating. Tune in, radio.com. Each and every day, Monday through Friday, we're on with you, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Coast to coast, pillar to post, as we say, here on CBS Sports Radio.
Where are you watching the game? Where? What are you doing?
I've got an event. I'm doing an appearance with Sean.
With these events.
With Sean Landetta on Sunday.
Stop. Go home, watch the game with your family, for God's sakes. Oh, you always got to do an event, fancy Dan. What about you, Mikey B? What are you watching?
Mike, Leon, and Jessica will be watching.
Who's Jessica?
My wife. We'll be watching in New Jersey.
I always hear about the cat.
You've heard
never
more
hear about
Leon than Jessica, by the way. That would bother me.
I know,
if
that's
kind of
weird, right? Yeah,
that
me
is.
Too.
Takes pictures of his cats.
It's Pete the Body's turn. Where are you watching the game?
We'll be watching from Long Beach, right in your apartment.
Long Beach.
And what about you, Taz?
I'll pick a TV in the Casa, and one of the big ones, probably the 84-inch I just bought, and I'll watch it alone.
Good for you. A little OLED?
Yeah. What? Yeah, exactly. Whatever that
means. Latest technology.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I got it.
Enjoy
that.
The Super Bowl, everybody. Yeah. Taz and the Moose. Peace.
Thanks
CBS Sports Radio.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.